To me, it's always marvelous how God works. I couldn't have asked for a more appropriate introduction to the message I want to share with you today. Of course, beginning with the opening song, I was thankful they didn't sing it just before the sermon. They know that it has a little history with me. The first time I heard it was in Canada, in Toronto, in a church there where I was going to conduct some meetings. And on the first Sabbath, when I was going to speak, I was about to stand up and they said, "No, we're going to have our prayer song." And that's when I heard it for the first time. And that was when I had a problem beginning a sermon with tears in my eyes. It's always been a very precious one. So thank you. Also, I couldn't have asked for a more appropriate introduction to the message I'm sharing with you today. Little things mean a lot when we had such a display of these very fine children and the experience that they've had this week in the Vacation Bible School. I want to commend all the leaders and the helpers there doing a fantastic work in helping these children, and I'll make a little reference to it later on in the message. So it's a pleasure and a wonderful joy to share with you today a message. A message, little things mean a lot. It was many years ago, in fact, more than I'd like to admit, back in 1953. There was a popular song. It was written by a lady by the name of Edith Lindemann, and the one that produced the music was Carl Stutz. The name of the song was "Little Things Mean a Lot." Actually, it was a very wonderful song that sort of gave a great message, especially to all husbands or husbands-to-be. But it also, I believe, gives a beautiful and very meaningful description of all human relationships. I'm just going to go through the words. "Blow me a kiss across the room. Say I look nice when I'm not. Touch my hair as you pass my chair. Little things mean a lot. Blow me a kiss across the room. Say I look nice when I'm not. Touch my hair as you pass my chair. Little things mean a lot. Blow me a kiss across the room." Whoops, I didn't get there. "Give me your arm as you..." These are the last two stanzas that I wanted to really emphasize. "Give me your arm as you cross the street. Call me at 6 on the dot. A line a day when you're far away. Little things mean a lot. Don't have to buy me diamonds or pearls, champagne, sables, or such. I never cared much for diamonds and pearls, because honestly, honey, they just cost money." Now, these are the last two stanzas. "Give me your hand when I've lost my way. Give me your shoulder to cry on. Whether the day is bright or gray, give me your heart to rely on. Send me the warmth of a secret smile to show me you haven't forgot. For always and ever, now and forever, little things mean a lot." Well, I don't know how many of you may remember that song. Some of you may want to, you may even be able to sing it. I don't know. But I just thought it was a wonderful reminder of little things that really mean an awful lot. And sometimes we forget that. There was a couple who, well, they found it out the hard way. They were going to get married, and of course they wanted to have the best wedding cake, etc., for the reception. And being Christians, they wanted to have a text on the surface of the cake. And they chose First John 4:18, where it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." I was sharing that with my grandson just last night. He told me that there is a scientific background for that. I don't understand it all, but that actually love does cast out fear. So I thought that's a good text. Well, that's what they wanted to put on their wedding cake. Well, the day of the wedding, the cake came. And what a shock. Somehow the baker got it wrong. He took the one off from the passage. And it was John 4:18, which says, "For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband." I guess you can agree with me, little things can mean a lot. One little number. Well, I was doing the research on this message several times throughout the since the pastor asked me to speak. And by the way, when I chose the title, I was not aware it was going to go along with the Vacation Bible School, so I guess God sort of had something in mind, don't you think? Well, I found some quotations that sort of go along with this thought. Here's one. "It's the little details that are vital. Little things make big things happen. A little knowledge that acts is worth infinitely more than much knowledge that is idle. Any truth is better than infinite doubt." And here you might be able to see the top one, but "enjoy the little things in life." And then it says, "One day you will realize that they are big things." And then, "Great things are done by a series of small things brought together. It has long been an axiom of mine," said this man, "that the little things are infinitely the most important." And I especially like this one. "A warm smile is the universal language of kindness." Remember that. Oops, how'd we get going here? Sometimes they have a mind of its own, you know. Here's another. "One of the most important keys to success is having the discipline to do," and this is probably a good one for me at least, and maybe for you too, "having the discipline to do what you know you should do, even when you don't feel like doing it," right? All right. It's not a single great heroic deed that defines who you really are. It's the little things you do day by day that count. And here's a big one. "It's a great life, isn't about great, huge things. It's about small things that make a big difference." And here's a very impressive one. "Experience proves that most time is wasted, not in hours, but in minutes. A bucket with a small hole in the bottom gets just as empty as a bucket that is deliberately kicked over." And then the final one, I think, is probably ties it all together. "Little things don't mean a lot. They mean everything." And you probably have experienced that in your life, as I have. There was a man at sea. He was in his quarters, seasick, just totally incapacitated. And then he heard the news that someone had fallen overboard. And oh, what can I do? Well, he thought, "I've got this light here. I'll just shine it out the portal." So he did. And the man was saved. And then he talked to the individual that had been rescued. He said, "I was going down for the third time, and I reached my hand up just above the water, and a light shone upon my hand, and they rescued me." Wow. Such a small thing, right? Holding up a light. And yet it saved a man's life. You know, if you or I cannot do some great thing, we can't hold up the light. Hold the light for some poor perishing drunkard or someone in a drug addiction thing or other kinds of problems in a way to try to win them to Christ and be delivered from their destruction. You know, it's a challenge. Take the torch of salvation into the dark homes of those who need to know the grace of Jesus Christ, as it was so beautifully sung about this morning, and let them know Him as the Savior of their lives. Yes, my dear people, little things mean a lot. We have a couple of examples here today in the Vacation Bible School. Wednesday, at prayer meeting, our pastor told us a little event that took place. I guess it was asked by Aaron to the children there, what is something you really want to remember about today? And one young boy, Jason McDaniel, is he here? Anyway, he raised his hand and he said, I learned that Jesus loves me. Little things mean a lot. And we have a lady here. Wednesday I got to visit with her, Tina. Tina Beam? Close enough. And as you, of course, have met her, she is short in stature. And so we had I call her Tiny Tina. Anyway, we got to talking, and her experience, she and her husband, George, who fell asleep in Jesus just a couple months ago, right? They had a very successful business in New York. And then, after they retired, they went to California and then volunteered on many mission trips. And this morning, she spent several minutes out there showing me the pictures of all the places they've been. If you can get together with her, have her share it with you. And I thought, wow, little things can mean a lot. Little things mean a lot. I don't believe we have greater examples of that principle than we find in the Bible itself. Our text for this morning, Luke 16, verse 10, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. You notice in this verse, Jesus is giving both a promise and a warning. Being faithful in little leads to an increase of blessings and accomplishments, whereas being unfaithful in little leads to, well, eventually a separation from God and being lost forever. A favorite author of mine put it this way: it's one of Satan's most successful devices to lead men to the commission of little sins, to blind the mind to the danger of little indulgences, little digressions from the plainly stated requirements of God. Many who would shrink with horror from some great transgression are led to look upon sin in little matters as trifling consequence. But those little sins eat out the life of godliness in the soul. It actually all began with a little sin, didn't it? A little sin. Young lady in a garden, talking to a creature in the tree, and I don't believe it was a snake looking, but I think the picture there is better. What lady would talk to a snake, right? I don't even want to talk to him. Anyway, and this being was talking to her and said, go ahead and eat it. It'll give you greater knowledge and even make you like your God. Just a little thing, a piece of fruit. Go ahead and eat it. A little thing, a piece of fruit. Look at the mess that's been created throughout the millenniums of history and is even getting worse today. One little sin. Little things mean a lot. But I like to go with the good news. With the devastating effects of that little sin, along with what took place on that day, there was a promise. A promise given by the Creator of a little thing that would eventually bring victory and restoration to this lost planet and to our lost lives. Here it is, Genesis 3:15, the very first promise of a Redeemer to come. And I will put enmity between you, he's speaking to the serpent here, to the devil, between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. The seed of a woman, a little baby, would one day be born in a manger, become a man, and eventually give his life as a wonderful payment for the sins of the lost race, of your sins and mine. The prophet Micah put it this way. He said, I think, there it goes. Micah 5:2. But as for you, Bethlehem, Bethphara, too little, notice, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. That prediction, my dear people, is part of a vast number of prophecies about a Savior to come and redeem this lost planet. This wonderful prophecy and prophecy after prophecy, telling us more and more about the coming of a Redeemer. But I believe that this promise has its best summation. What I've concluded is the most important verse in the Bible. And of course, none other than John 3:16. In fact, why don't we just read it together or repeat it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My dear folks, think of this. God, the creator and the ruler of the universe, the immensity of which we can't even begin to comprehend, no matter how big the telescopes we get. That God, so loved, so highly valued, this world, which is just barely a speck of dust in the vastness of space. He gave his Son, his only Son, a gift that is beyond measurement and comprehension, that whoever, an open invitation, open to all, whoever would accept that gift would not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, my dear friends, little things mean a lot. And you can go through Scripture over and over. We have had evidences of that. There is a young man herding sheep, working for his father-in-law. A young man. Did I say that? Only 80 years old. Where are you, Leo? That's young, isn't it? Yes, we agreed on that. And there he was. Suddenly he sees this bush burning and burning and burning. So he goes over there, curiosity, find out why is it still burning. And then he hears that voice telling him to take off his shoes. And then he's told that he's been chosen to lead his people out of the bondage of Egypt. Wow, shock treatment. And he comes out and he says, who am I, Lord, that you should send me? And a bunch of other excuses. And so God says to him, what is that in your hand, Moses? A rod, a shepherd's rod. Here we have the Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, asking for a shepherd's rod, a simple rod. But what did he do with it? Well, he did a lot. First, he, of course, turned it into a snake, then back again, and a few other things. But then it was used as a tool or as a symbol of the power of God in delivering his people from the bondage and right on into the promised land eventually. Wow. You can say it again, can't you? Little things mean a lot. Two armies facing each other, two different mountains with a valley in between. On one side is this giant, about 9 foot 8 inches tall, pretty good size, 125 pounds armor. And he's strutting about and he's shouting out, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And of course, all the brave guys cowering, afraid, And then a young man named David. He was visiting his brothers, just bringing them lunch. He stepped up and volunteered to fight the giant. With just a staff, a sling, and 5 smooth stones, he faced this monster. The monster was just laughing and cursing his God. But not for long. With just one sweep of that sling, that little stone struck the giant in his forehead, and down he went, face downward, dead. Yes, a young man, a little sling, his tiny stones. What a victory for God's chosen people. Little things mean a lot. David wrote about that. Later, he said in Psalm 37, verses 16 and 17, "A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous." Now, this concept of little things producing big results is truly the basic theme of all the teachings of Jesus. I just go through and I'm amazed at how many times Jesus spends the time talking and acting and doing about little things, small things. Remember, he'd been speaking to the people all day there. They were getting hungry. And so he took a small boy's lunch. A small boy's lunch. Just, you know, what is it? 2 small fish and about 5, I'd say, big biscuits probably. And he fed the entire crowd of 5,000. I'd say it was more like 10,000. And they had leftovers. We'll probably have some for the potluck today. Another time he has this, you know, 4,000, 7 loaves, few fish, again with leftovers. He lifts up this widow who is, you know, putting a little offering in the plate. And he tells how that's the best example of generous giving. And then I've always amazed how he tells about the love of God being revealed by a woman who's searching and searching for this little bitty coin. And then, of course, he talks about the shepherd going for that lost sheep. And I'm pointing to myself. I hope you include yourself as well. Yes, Jesus talked a great deal about the small things in life and how important they are in our growing in faith and confidence in Him. Because, you see, He knew that it's small things that lead to big changes. And one of the best examples we have is that parable. Parable of the mustard seed. Here it is in Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32. He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." You know, Jesus was a tremendous storyteller, wasn't he? I mean, the thousands of people would gather around him, trying to visualize the principles of the Bible in ways in which both they and we can understand better. And here he's using this scripture of the mustard seed, this story. Small. He said, smallest of all seeds. But as it grows, it becomes the biggest garden plant. It actually becomes a tree. Once a small seed, a full-grown tree, fulfilling its purpose in life. What about you and me? You and I all have a purpose in life. Sometimes the goal, you know, can seem very far away, and especially for young people here today. But this story about the mustard seed tells me, we have to start somewhere. It might be a little start. A small start is all we can do. And it's all we need to eventually, by the grace of God and the power of God, have big results. Folks, I'm convinced that we can change the entire course of our life by simply taking one small change and sticking with it. We are the mustard seed to start with. And if we are in that stage of our purpose, if we just keep going forward, big results can happen by the power of God in the future. Yes, as one person put it, little things are preparation and testing for bigger things. Look at our world today. Problems. Talk about problems. World problems, war problems, economic problems, unemployment problems, family problems, personal problems. It's been almost overwhelming as you watch what's going on and sometimes experience. Overwhelming and something we think, wow, what can I do? I can't do anything about it. Well, Jesus says, nothing could be further from the truth. He says, do the little things. He says, do what you can, make your mark, offer what you have, however you can, and then, he says, leave the rest to me. Leave the rest to me. So, question I ask of myself, and I ask of you, what is it that you or I have to offer? Oh, great things, great talents, great abilities, great goodness. It kind of puts you in, or off me also, I guess, in the minority. You know, God could say, I don't need you, not even be able to use you. Not until I realize and you realize even our greatest abilities are small. No matter how talented, no matter how much you can accomplish, it's small in comparison to what God is, right? Small. God does not ask for greatness, for strength, even for goodness. No, our goodness is as filthy rags to start with. Our talents and abilities, weak and feeble. Well, the Bible says it. God says it, Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And Paul reiterates that when he says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. You like that? My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Isn't that fantastic? That's a promise we need to claim every day. The secret is not in who we are or what we are, but our dedication and commitment to Him. Because in turning all that we are for His use and purpose, for His actions, that is the real secret. It's not whether we've been given 10 talents or 5 talents or 1 talent. The question is, are we willing to release that talent or more into the hand of God to let Him make use of that little thing? He only asks for us as He created us. You see, He decides who we are, what we are, what abilities, aptitudes, and gifts we have. We decide whether we are going to willingly give what we are, who we are, back to Him. You know, it's very simple. God made us. He loves us. I would like to have had those placards put out here yet, because it just goes right along with what we're saying here. God loves us. He has provided for our redemption. He wants our love and devotion. And He knows just what can be accomplished with the little that we have to offer Him. It all depends on willingness, on my willingness, on your willingness to give Him free rein. We can say it. Here is my little, Lord. Cast it down, break it up, hurl it. Do as you see fit. Only then, you see, can we truly be of use to the Master. Only then will we find the fulfillment and contentment that we really want to have in life. Only then will we be given freedom. Freedom meaning released to serve. Released to serve. I only thought of that thought when I was dealing with the sermon. It wasn't intentional, but that's what we're going to be celebrating in about a week and a half, isn't it? Freedom. But we need to remember what the freedom is all about. That freedom. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what I want? Freedom to serve. Tired of feeling, weak and inadequate. Weary of struggling in our own strength. Falling down, feeling guilty. God made us, dear people. He knows your shortcomings. He knows my shortcomings. He knows our frailties. Folks, He is the only one. The only one who can take our little bit and make it of great worth if it's in His plan to glorify His name. So let's stop struggling and submit. I believe you'll agree with me. We need His strength, His wisdom, His power, His presence. All we have to do is release who we are, what we are, into the loving, trustworthy hand of a God who loves us to the utmost. And then accept what He has in mind for us. Easy, right? I guess I can say to myself, why didn't I do it before? Right? Folks, little things mean a lot. God takes what is small and makes it mighty. Just as we talked about at the beginning, He sent our Savior into the world as a tiny little baby. But that tiny little baby literally turned the world upside down and has changed life forever. That tiny little baby was and is the source of all life for you and me. He is the real, the true, abundant, eternal life. So, go forth from this place. Offer what you have, however little it may be, because God will take what you have and what you give and make it more than enough. Remember, folks, little things in the hands of God truly mean a lot. I'd like to close just with a prayer as we read it from the screen. Oh God, I'm not much. I have so few abilities, so few talents. Help me to accept myself as You have made me. If You decided that I was enough with what You have given to me, then help me to accept it as well. Oh, yes, I give back to You all of me, my little bit. Do with it as You see fit. Release me to freedom. Freedom to serve. Freedom for service. I'd like to respond to that with a beautiful hymn that's called, I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go. Oh, Father, what an awesome God You are. And yet, as mighty as You are, You care for us so much. Our littleness in comparison to Your mighty, You cared so much to give us the greatest gift in the universe. And to show by Your power how in the hands of God, even someone as simple and little as we are can be okay, that little things can be a lot with Your presence in our lives. And so we claim that presence today as we make this commitment by the grace of God, I'll go do what You want me to be. Fulfill it as You choose is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to remind our guests here today that we're going to have a fellowship meal. It might not be the 5 loaves and 2 fish, but you'll have plenty to eat because we know we have good cooks here. God bless. Have a great Sabbath.